Let the church say amen again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you once again to our mighty praise team for setting the table to let us know that God is good. Amen. Amen. If you've been blessed already, let me hear you say praise the Lord. I mean, if God has really been good to you, let me hear you say hallelujah. Oh, we in a new year, saints of God. It's 2025 and 2024 is behind us, and there's no way in the world we can go back. Amen and amen. Praise God for each and every one of you. Those who are watching online, we welcome you. We praise God for your presence. And we thank God for each one of you who are here for the first Sabbath of the new year. God is good. Thank you, Randall. Thank you so much for blessing us again. And we are just delighted to be in the presence of God. And we got so much going on, and we want you to be a part of it. We're just grateful that God has blessed us with another Sabbath. Lord is good. Amen. I mean, really, God is good. You think about all that's going on around us in this crazy world, what happened down in New Orleans and what just happened in New York, and you say, what's happening? It's amazing. Things are happening. The Bible lets us know that God is withdrawing his spirit from this planet. However, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And God is going to use people to make a difference in the lives of those around us. And so, again, we are so thankful and we are so appreciative to be in the house of God by God's grace again on another Sabbath morning. This is not by, just in other words, this just didn't happen because you planned it. This happened because of God's grace. Amen. This just didn't happen because you want it to happen. It happened because the Lord is merciful. The Lord is kind. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. And for that, we magnify his name and we lift him up today. Praise God for all of that. And so today, we just want to remind you on starting on Tuesday, we're going to start a new series. I mean, on Wednesday night at 7:30, we have what is called a Bible study / prayer meeting. Well, on this coming Wednesday night at 7:30, there is a Zoom number that you can get. We're going to start a new series entitled Revival, The Greatest Need of the Church. In fact, we're going to be using this little book here, and I'll make sure that you have access to it. The Bible lets us know that revival begins when God's people begin to turn their hearts to God. In other words, prayer, perhaps you've been praying. You've been praying for the power of the Holy Spirit and the latter rain. Get ready. Your prayers have been answered because Jesus is coming again. And I want you to know that this little book here is power packed. It has information on how revival takes place. And I don't know about you, but I need a revival. You need a revival? I don't know about you. I want God to revive my spirit so that I will be able to turn to him and know that the power is right there. I would love to have the power of the Holy Ghost so that my shadow, it might hit somebody and they'll jump up and heal by the grace of God. I would love to walk down a hospital ward and go into a room and put hands on somebody and somebody get up in the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but aren't you praying for that kind of power? I would love for us to have that kind of power to walk up and down our neighborhood and pray over our neighbors and ask God to bring about a mighty revival so that men and women will come running to Jesus and ask, what must I do to be saved? We're living in that time where God is going to use somebody, and it might as well be us. Amen. 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 Well, again, I'm delighted to be here today, and God has a blessing for us. He has a blessing because he is in the house. I want to read it again. It says the volume, this volume collects Ellen White's most important writings on revival. In other words, she is placing this little volume, her most important writings on revival and how it takes place. She helps us understand and distinguish between true and false revival and talks about how revival reveals itself in our Christian walk, what it means. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about revival, how God wants to revive his church. And I know that God wants to revive us because he's coming back. And he's coming back for a people who made a covenant with him by sacrifice. Our character will look so much like Jesus, he will have to come back because the world can't take us any longer. And so I'm longing for that day when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we've got to be ready. We've got to get ready. You know, just the other day we were watching, I was listening to the news, and it is horrific. I mean, just amazing. This person, a U.S. postal individual, went into a deli to order a sandwich. And while he was ordering the sandwich, a young lady about 24 years of age got angry and upset because she felt like he was out of order by cutting her in the line. Now, this sounds like kindergarten stuff, but this happened in real life in New York. This 36-year-old postal worker went into this deli, and he was just wanting to order a sandwich, but somehow confusion broke out, and they began arguing about who was in line first, Chiron. They were arguing. And the young lady, 24 years of age, pulled out a knife and stabbed this individual just because she felt he was in front of her, stabbed him and killed him over who was in line. Now, we're living in some terrible times. And it is only because of the grace of God and the mercy of God that we are kept by God's grace. I want you to know that it's only the grace of God. There were individuals who were down in New Orleans just celebrating the new year. And you know, the truck just ran over 15 people and killed them. We are living in a time where we need the Holy Ghost around us. We need the angel of God to protect us because we're living in some terrible times. And I want you to know that God wants to keep his people and protect his people, but more importantly, he wants us to get this gospel to people before it's too late. Amen. He wants us to share the good news about his coming. And so we want to remind you that Jesus is coming again. And before he comes back, he's going to have a people who's going to be ready for him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. I want to see his face. I want to say, lo, this is my God. We have waited for him and he will save us. Praise the Lord. Well, today we want to go ahead and get into the word of God so that you might be able to join us. I believe we have a meal after this service. Amen. There is a wonderful meal prepared for you after this service. And we would love for you to stay by and share with us. We're glad that you're watching online. And if you would get in your car and hurry up, you might want to join us for the meal afterwards. But you can't do both. Yes, you can. You can put the message on the phone. Get in your car, drive here, and watch it on your iPad or iPhone, and get here in time for the meal. Amen. Well, again, we're glad to be here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we have worshiped through giving. We have worshiped through prayer. We have worshiped through song. And now it is important for us to hear your word speak to us. Lord, your children, my brothers and sisters, have gathered together again under the convocation of the Sabbath day, a day you set aside, a day that you made holy, a day that you blessed, a day that you rested. We are here now, Father, to hear your word. And I pray that you would speak to us regarding your power and regarding the anointing that comes in following you. And Father, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do for us and say to us. And as a result of coming here, may someone be drawn closer to Jesus. May someone cry out, what must I do to be saved? And may someone respond to the appeal of this message and begin to live their life according to your word before it's too late. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our text of scripture today is found in Exodus chapter 33. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version in Exodus chapter 33. I believe it will be on the screen. Exodus 33, beginning with verse 12. Exodus chapter 33, beginning with verse 12. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, verse 13, now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, if I found grace in your sight, the word of God says, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this nation, that this nation is your people. And verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then verse 15, then he said unto him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. I like the way the King James Version says it in verse 16. It says, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people. This is New King James Version. Do you have the King James Version? I'm sorry. Do you have the King James Version, Jason? We were reading from the New King James, but I would like the King James, if you have it, verse 16. It says, for wherein, now notice what it says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How will it be known? What will be the evidence? What will take place to make it known that we have found this grace? What will happen? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I want to read verse 16 again. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? In other words, the question that I want to ask this morning is, how will they know? How will they know? How will they know? The Word of God asks that question. If we found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you. But then he says, for how will they know? How will it be known that we have been saved by your grace and by your power? What will be the evidence? What will shine forth that people will know that we have been in your presence? How will it be seen that you are our God and we are your people? Well, the Word of God lets us know there is something about the grace of God. There's something about something amazing about the magnitude of the love that God has for his children. We were even rehearsing it this morning, talking about this love that seeks after us, this love that will not stop coming after us, this love that is aggressive, this love is intentional, this love that is purposeful. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 32 and 33 and 34, that you can read in your hearing. It's amazing how these individuals who call the children of Israel turned their backs on God after God had done so much for them. I think about even how we are blessed of God, and God keeps on opening doors, and God keeps on making a way out of no way, and how we keep on letting God down over and over again. Now, I may be talking to myself, but I don't know about you, but I've got to confess that I'm not always faithful, that I'm not always consistent, but I'm so glad that we serve a God who looks beyond our faults and see our needs. I'm so glad that this merciful God that we see in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament, for he says, I'm this Lord and I change not. I'm so glad he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Word of God says, I change not. You know, I don't know about you, but I remember growing up, it was the most terrifying thing to be left in a dark room. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I did not like a room of darkness, and I might got a witness, because I know there's some of you, when you were growing up, you didn't like dark rooms either. And I know that many times, on many occasions, in fact, I would ask to leave the light on, but somehow after falling asleep, the light would go out and I would wake up and I would be terrified. I would be so afraid of the dark, and I would imagine that there were things in the room that weren't in the room when the light was on, but now something is under the bed, or something maybe in the closet, or something is in the room that wasn't in the room before, all because the lights went out. And you know what scared me the most was I was in there by myself. But then it happened when I would get up and go into another room where my parents were, the lights were out in there. But when I went in there, it was nothing like having somebody in the room with me that I knew could take care of anything that was in the room with me. I realized that it wasn't so much the darkness, it was just being alone. It was the fear of not having somebody with me. It was the fear of not having the presence of somebody that I knew could take care of my problems. It was the fear of being in this dark room all by myself without the presence of anybody that could take care of me. But it all changed when my parents allowed me to come into their room. It was something different. In fact, I would cry out, you know, I was beginning to cry, and once my father would come in the room or my mother would come in the room and they would sit in the room, I felt a whole lot better. Even though the lights were out, I knew somebody was in the room. But I want you to know that many of us are going to go through some dark moments. Many of us are going to go through some experiences where it feels like we're all by ourselves. But I want to remind you that I'm so glad we serve a God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never turn my back on you. In this particular text, God had promised them the promised land. He said, I'm going to get you there. In fact, in Exodus 33, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from hence. And he says, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it to you. In other words, God promised the people of God that the land was going to be theirs. They had gone through wilderness journey. They had gone through all of the up and down. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to watch over you. And I'm so glad right now we serve a God that watches over us. Amen. I don't know about you. Think about it. We serve a God who order our steps. We serve a God who will lead us and guide us. We serve a God that will protect us. We serve a God who says, I'm promised I'll never leave you. And in the text, he says, I will give the land to you in verse 1. And then in verse 2, I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Termites and every ite there is. I'm so glad God says, I promise you, I'm going to drive them out. Whatever's in your life, whatever's going on in your experience, God promises to drive it out. And I want to remind you that these things that's in our lives will cause us no joy, no peace, no happiness. But when God says, I'm going to drive it out, he says, I'm going to drive it out because I promised it to you. But however, the verse says in verse 3, I'm going to let you go up into the land, but I'm not going up in the mist. God says, I'm going to bless you with the land, but I'm not going. I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm not going. I'm going to allow you to have that relationship, but I'm not going in it. I'm going to let you drive that new car, but I'm not going to be in it. I'm going to allow you to buy that house, but I'm not going in it. Lord, have mercy. Can you imagine God saying, I'm going to give this to you, but I'm not going to be in it. I'm not going to be a part of it. And he says, the reason why is because your neck is stiff and you will not listen. You know, God wants to walk with us. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. And God says it's either you going to trust me or you can do it your own way. And if you want to do it your own way, God says, I'm not going with you. That's a horrific thing. When God's presence is not with us, we are going to lose. We're going to mess up, make a mistake. We're going to veer off the road. And we always end up staying longer than we have to, going through more stuff than we have to, paying more than we need to because we left the presence of God. I want to remind you right now that without the presence of God, there is no peace. Without the presence of God, there is no joy. Without the presence of God, there's no victory. Without the presence of God, there is no overcoming. And that's why when they heard this, the Bible says in verse 4, when the people heard this bad news, they mourned and they cried out, oh Lord, please don't leave us. And they began to have sackcloth and ashes, all because they recognized they wanted the promised land, but they didn't want it without God. Can you imagine? Here they are up and down in their relationship with God. Here they are in and out of the relationship with God. But because of their love for God, they let him down. But God did not leave them. God did not forsake them. God told Moses, I want to destroy them. But Moses intercede on their behalf. And Moses begins to pray out, Lord, please have mercy. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad somebody praying for me right now. Jesus said to Peter, I pray that the devil will not sift you. I pray that God will keep you. I pray that God will watch over you. I pray that the power of God might lead you. In other words, it is the presence of God that they demanded. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 7. Moses, in other words, verse 6. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at the tent. And they wanted to see how Moses was going to deal with God. But then in verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, you told me to bring these people up and you said you're not going with us. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your eyes, if I found grace, Lord, please, please, oh God, do not take your Holy Spirit away from us. And he said in verse 14, God responded by saying, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the question that I want to ask is, why do we need the presence of God? See, it's one thing to come to church. It's one thing to pray and read our Bibles. But why is it that we need the presence of God? See, in other words, it's sometimes we can take it for granted. The word says that Samson took it for granted that God was with him, and he rose up and said, I'll shake myself and I'll go out as usual and I'll do what I've been doing. In other words, he thought he can keep living the way he was living even without the presence of God. And I want us to understand as we move forward in 2025 that if we're going to move forward successfully, we desperately need the presence of God to go with us. Why do I need God's presence? Because without his presence, I can't make it. Without God's presence, we cannot go anywhere. The text says they pleaded with God and they begged God. And God responded by saying, for my presence will go with you and I will give you the rest. Then he said, okay, wonderful. He said, now, if you don't go, how in the world will people know that we've been with you? How will they know? In other words, the only thing that sets us apart from anybody or everybody else is the presence of God in your life. It's not because of your behavior. It's not because of your good works. It's not because of the things you have done and not the things you have done in the past. It's because of God's everlasting mercy and grace and love that sets us apart. The Bible says he commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So it's not about how good I am. It's not about my works. It's not about my behavior, but it's about the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God. And you ought to shout and celebrate the mere fact when you look at your life and see how bad you are and how undone you are, and God keeps on loving you in spite of. I want to say thank you, Jesus. I want to bless his name. The mere fact that he allowed me to walk into the church today and kept me clothed in my right mind to be able to come here and worship him. I want to thank God for his keeping power and for his presence, because without his presence, Ellen White says, if we would practice the presence of God, he says, we would not sin if I knew God was with me. In other words, you sit down in front of the TV, there's certain things you won't watch if Jehovah Jireh is beside you. There's certain places you won't go if you know God is with you, in your car, in the passenger seat, and you're driving. It's certain things you won't eat. It's certain things you won't do when you practice the presence of God. Well, just for a moment here, let me explain to you why we need the presence of God. Well, first of all, if you turn with me in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the word of God reminds us the desperate need for the presence of God. As you know, after they lost the ark of the Philistines, they took the ark. And when they took the ark, notice what happens. Number one, when God's presence is not in our lives, we don't have the ability to deal with our habits and hangups in our lives. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, you cannot manage it on your own. Whenever God's presence is somewhere, he gives you the power and the ability to manage habits and issues that's in your life. Notice here, 1 Samuel chapter 5. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it before Dagon. Now, Dagon was their god. But when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, and there was Dagon fallen on his face. You see that? The word of God says when they took the ark represented the presence of God. between the cherubims and over the mercy seat, the presence of God stood. And when the presence of God showed up, it was the power of God that brought about deliverance and issued a power that they did not have. However, here the Philistines had taken the ark and they thought it was just some magical box, but representing the presence of God. And when they took the ark, they placed it in this showroom where Dagon was in 1 Samuel chapter 5. Notice what it says. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in his place again. Now, let me suggest, anytime you got to lift your God up and help your God and pick your God up, something is wrong with your God. The Bible says they put their ark in the same room with Dagon, and Dagon was the God they worshiped. But when they came in there, Dagon was on his face and the ark was sitting there shining with the glory of God, the Shekinah of God. And notice, it says this, and when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon falling on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. Now, this time, the head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshing hold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. In other words, let me suggest this. Whenever you and I invite God's presence into our lives, whatever idols or whatever issues we're dealing with, God's presence can eradicate it by just showing up. See, you and I don't have the power to overcome sin. We don't have the ability to say no to the devil on our own. But we do have the power to say yes to God. And when God comes into our lives and we welcome him and accept him, then he's able to manage the issues in our life as we allow him. See, one thing about it, I used to think God was going to wave a wand and all of a sudden my desires will go and leave and I no longer want the world. Am I by myself? I mean, I didn't think I was going to be tempted anymore. I didn't think I was going to have issues anymore. I thought once I said yes to God, Octavia, that all the desires for anything would go away. But it's always going to be like Paul said, we press towards the mark. It's always going to be fighting the good fight of faith. You're always going to have to keep on keeping on. You never can let go or let up, because as long as you're on this earth, you have been delivered from the You have been delivered from the power of sin, but you have not been delivered from the presence of sin. Therefore, the devil will always tempt you, and you always have a desire to do God's will, or you can do the will of the devil. In other words, it's a choice. It will never get to a point where you can say no to the devil without the power of God. And that's where sometimes as many of us as Christians fail, because we're trying to do right, but we're doing it without the presence of God. We're trying to live right, but we're doing it without the presence of God. And how do we do it? We've got to say, yes, God, come into my life. Yes, God, walk with me and talk with me. How does it happen? It happens by spending prayerful moments with God day by day. It happens when your will begins to get lost in the will of God. And just like a choice, for instance, I cannot turn off thirst. I cannot change the way I think and feel. But you know, right now, I'm a little thirsty or dehydrated. And I can change my situation by simply taking a sip of water. Now watch this. I made a choice. I can't change the way I feel, but I can choose to allow water to come into my situation. Now, guess what? As I begin to do that, some chemicals begin to be released in my body, hormones. Stuff start happening. All because I gave water access to come into my being to do for me what I don't have access to do. And as a Christian, when we say letting God in your life, it's like giving God the right of way into your situation, because God is not going to bombard his way into your life. He's not going to force his way into your life, but he will have a small conviction on your life. My sister said it earlier this morning when she was talking about how God will give you He will give you glimpses, and he will give you opportunities to know what's right and wrong. He will preach sermons, or he'll give Bible studies, or he'll put people in your life, and all of a sudden you have the choice to make. And you come to the crossroad. The only way you're going to make that choice is if God's presence is guiding you and leading you to make the right choice. You're always going to be faced. I want to say it again. You're always going to be faced with a choice. That's volition. You've got to choose whom you're going to serve. And Joshua said, as far as me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Me and my house, we're going to do what's right, come what may. In other words, you're always going to have a choice. And once we choose to let God into our life, he begins to manage those idols. He begins to manage those habits. He begins to manage those hangups that we have and idiosyncrasies. If we would just say, yes, God, come into my life, I give you full will. I want you to come into my life. It's an invitation. If you would just say, yes, God, he will come in your life. He will begin to order your steps according to his word. And before long, you begin to say no to the devil, and you begin to say yes to God. And let me say this. The stronger your yes to God is, the stronger your no to the devil will be. If I've got a weak yes to God, it's easy to fall a prey to the devil. But if you fall in love with God, and people have said this and people have done this, but in order for us to model ourselves as disciples, I've got to fall in love with Jesus. I've got to learn to walk with him and talk with him. I've got to have a desire for him. His presence needs to become all consuming and all important in my life. So the first reason why I need the presence of God is so that he can help me manage things in me that I was born with. All of us got habits. All of us got stuff we either cultivated or stuff we inherited. Amen. Some stuff we cultivated because of habits, some things we did. And notice, we did them when we were ignorant to how they would affect us later, not understanding we make choices and then choices make us. Not understanding that those things begin to shape our character, and the compound interest and the compound effect that happens is that because I've done it over and over again, now it becomes a habit. And when I don't want to do it, I'm doing it out of a habit. But it takes the power of God to break the habits that's in our lives. And God says, if you let me walk with you, if you let me walk in your life, if you let me come in, I'll manage your issues, but I can't do it on the outside. That's why he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens the door, my challenge to us this year is that we would open the door completely, and in 2025, allow God to have his presence consume us and be in us. Number one, that's the reason why we need the presence of God. And secondly, not only do we need the presence of God, it's because when we don't have the presence of God, you can't do anything but go down. When you don't have the presence of God, I promise you, Jonah, let me just give these to you. I'm almost finished. Jonah chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says here in Jonah chapter 1. The word of God reminds us, powerful, quicker than any two-edged sword. The word of God says here, I like what happened in Jonah, because here he reminds us in Jonah chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says, and I'll read it. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And I'll say this again, God will speak to you. I'm so glad he'll speak to you. God will come to you. God will speak to you. In other words, you came to church, and I want you to know that it may not be the sermon. It may not be the song. It may not be the praise team, but it'd be the Spirit of God. It'll be the presence of God speaking to you. And that's why the Holy Ghost said, I've come that you might have power. And this power that he brings is through the word of God. Notice what it says. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, now listen to how it reads. Arise, go to Nineveh. Now, I don't know what your Nineveh is, but God always comes with an assignment on your life. I want to tell you right now, in 2025, it's January the 4th, I promise you, God is coming to you with an assignment. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. Your response to God's assignment on your life will determine your ups and your downs. It will determine which way you go. And notice Jonah, how he responds. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, God says, Jonah, I need you to do me a favor. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to preach, because people's wickedness have become so bad, it has come up to me. Now, that text there is found over in Genesis, actually, where it says their wickedness has come up to me. In other words, God doesn't move until it becomes so bad that he says, you can't help yourself, so I'm going to have to help you. When your wickedness comes up to me, in other words, because they are so evil, I'm going to do them a favor. But notice what God does. He doesn't send destruction. He sends deliverance. He doesn't send judgment. He sends mercy. I'm so glad that we serve a God that always sends a way out before he let the hammer fall. He always does in our lives. I don't know about you, but we're here by the grace of God because he's kept us, because he's watched over us. The hammer should have fallen on me a long time ago. I'm asking myself the question, why am I still here? It's because of the mercy and the grace of God. The text says their wickedness has come up to me, so I'm going to use you as an instrument to go and speak to them. And I don't know who God is calling right now, but there's somebody that might be in trouble that God will call you, put an assignment on your life and tell you to minister. And notice what the text says. Here it is. You get an assignment. Whatever your assignment is, it's more than showing up in church. Whatever your assignment is, it's more than coming and reading the Bible. Your assignment is more than hearing a sermon. Your assignment is more than reading a Sabbath school lesson. Your assignment is about saving somebody, and through you, God wants to bless somebody in your life. But the text says in verse 3, there's a conjunction. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. Let me ask a question. When God speaks to you, what's your agenda? I mean, are you willing to be sold out for God? Are you willing to say, yes, God, your way? I want to do it your way or my way. I promise you in 2025, how we move will determine whether or not we are able to be successful in this Christian life. Number one, we discovered that when God's presence is not in our life, we can't manage our lives. Notice number two, when God's presence is not in our life, notice what happens. We go down. Verse 3, it's right there. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See, in other words, when you flee from the presence of the Lord, it's because you're running from an assignment that God placed on your life. And when you run from your assignment, you're running from the presence of God. And notice what the text says is right there. He ran from the presence of the Lord and he what? Went down. He went down to Joppa. And found a ship. Now, it wasn't by accident he found the ship, because whenever God gives you an assignment to go to Nineveh, there's always a ship. There's always something waiting in the harbor to take you in a different direction. I promise you, whenever God gives you an assignment, there's always something else that can distract you from what God called you to do. And the Bible says, when he ran from the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and he found a ship. No, the ship was waiting on him because the devil knew he was on the way. See, sometimes we think, oh, man, look, this just happened by accident. No, it didn't. The devil been watching you. The devil been watching your characteristics. He's been watching how you've been acting. He's been watching your habits. He's been watching your decisions. And all of a sudden you say, this just miraculously happened. No, it's called a setup. And the devil knows he has to set it up before he sets it off. That's why the Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God tempts nobody with evil. We're tempted when we're drawn away with what's inside of us. And so the devil watches us. And here, Jonah, the Bible says, went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid. Now watch this. Number one, notice the progression. I'm almost finished, I promise. He left from doing the will of God, the presence of God. And as a result, the progression says he went down. But then not only is he going down, but he's making payment on going down. The text says, so he paid the fare and went down again. And he went down into the down to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He's running actually from God. And because he's running from the assignment, we know he's not actually running from God's presence, but he's running from the assignment, which is what God put on his life. And because of that, God says, you cannot be blessed when you are not in the assignment that I'm giving you. And the assignment has to do with being in my presence and doing the will of God. And I don't know what you might be going through right now. I don't know what you're experiencing, but you've got to understand this. There is a call on your life to do thus saith the Lord. You were made by God and for God, and you'll never be happy without God. That's why there's no peace. The word says there is no peace to the wicked, and that's why we've got to come to him just as we are and cast all of our burdens upon him, because when we do that, we find peace. We find joy. The word says in verse 5, he went down into the ship. He went down into the boat. He went down to found a ship. He went down to Tarshish. In other words, as his pursuit of trying to run from God, he ends up just keep on going down. Why do we need the presence of God, ladies and gentlemen? It's to keep us from going down. You were never made to go down. You were made to go up. You were made to ride upon the high places of the earth. You were made to be the head and not the tail. You were made to be the lender and not the borrower. You were made to be the diadem of God's eye. You were made for God and by God. And without him, we are nothing. And that's why we need God's presence. That's why we got to crave for him as the heart panted after the water brook. I've got to want more of God in 2025. I got to be hungry for God. I need an insatiable appetite for God. I want to appeal to you today. Ask God for that hunger, because we have become like the Laodicean church. We become apathetic and indifferent. We need the will of God and we need the presence of God. That's why I said we need a revival. I need God in my life. I need more of him. And what will happen when I begin to crave his presence? Well, number one, if I get God's presence, as I close, the presence of God will start opening up doors. In other words, if I would just allow God to go before me, if I would allow God to begin to work things out, he'll open up doors, I promise you. He'll make a way out of no way. It's in the Bible. In fact, the Bible says God led them not by the way of the Philistines, lest they see war and peradventure turn back. So he led them through the wilderness. He led them through the Red Sea. In other words, God led them. It was the power of God that was leading them. He led them by day and by night. But when the Egyptians started pursuing them, he led them and he moved from directing them to protecting them. And I'm so glad we serve a God who will not only direct us, but he'll protect us. And the Bible says, as we desire the presence of God, he'll open up doors. In Psalms, the 114th division, this is the last reason why I say you need the God's presence, 2025. You need him to fight your idols. You need him to keep you from going down, self-destruct. See, in other words, hell is not something God does to us. Hell is God stepping back and what happens to us as a result of not having God in us. Because the same fire that the Hebrew boys were in, they didn't burn because Jesus was in them. So in other words, fire can't consume fire. In all our lives, God is trying to prepare us to see him in peace so that we don't become combustible material. See, in other words, when the presence of God is with us and in us, when we see him, we'll rejoice. And we won't say to some, like some will say, run to the rocks and hide us. No. The reason why the world will know you've been with God is because you're able to live above some stuff. You're able to do God's will, and you're able to walk in God's power and God's anointing. You know, God will govern you. God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll bless you above all you can ask or think. But you got to want him like you never wanted him before. I need that appetite for God. That's what I'm just suggesting today. It's just a commercial. Do you have, ask that self, do that inventory check. Do you have an appetite for God? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you so conditioned that, yes, I go to church and yes, I say my prayers, but are you hungry for God? We need the presence of God and the power of God to help us deal with our habits, our issues. That's why he says, I stand at the door and knock, and I'll come in and sup with you. And if you let me in, I'll manage your life, and I'll direct your life, and I'll guide your life, but I can't do it unless you allow me permission. And then he says, if you don't let me, then what happens is you're going to end up going down because my presence is not in your life. See, Jonah went down because he ran from God. Are you running from assignment today that God has on your life today? Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 114th division, it says this. The 114th division says this. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, and Judah became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. This is verse 3. The Bible says, the sea saw it and fled, and Jordan turned back. Now you might be asking, what does that mean? In other words, how did the Red Sea open up? The Bible says here, in Psalms 114 division, the mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? O mountains, that you skipped like rams? O little hills like lambs? And notice what the verse says in verse 7. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Oh, my God. In other words, saints, three things I'm trying to tell you today and deposit in your spirit. And that is, number one, when you have the presence of God, God will help you manage your idols, your issues, and your habits. Number two, when you have the presence of God, it will keep you from going down in a nosedive in your life, running from God's presence. And then lastly, when God's presence is in your life, he will go before you. And when God goes before you, who can be against you? In other words, when God goes before you, he'll begin to open up doors before you ever get there. He'll manage life in a way that he'll begin to do things that will blow your mind. I challenge you. Let God go before you. Pray for God's presence, because in the text it says, O earth, tremble at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rocks into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. In other words, when God's presence went before the children of Israel, the way the Red Sea opened up is because they saw God's presence. They saw who created them. They saw that it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They saw that it was Jehovah Jireh. They saw that it was the God of heaven and earth. They saw that it was the omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, all power, all consuming, sovereign God. The water saw God's presence and moved out the way. And the Bible says they crossed over the dry land because they moved out of the way. Is there something in your life right now that need to move out the way? Is there something holding you back that needs to move out the way? Is there something that tries to intimidate you? Fear? Is there loneliness? Is there something trying to stand in the way of you doing the will of God? You see, one thing about God's will, when God says move forward, like he told Moses, he says, why keep crying to me? Just do like I told you. The assignment was move forward. And don't let obstacles intimidate you. Don't let people get in your way. If I said move forward, keep moving until I update the word. Keep moving until I tell you something else. And whatever is before you, I'll move it out the way. If I have to, I'll make the lions fast. If I have to, I'll take the heat out of the fire. If I have to, I'll allow you to tread on serpents. If I have to, I'll give you power to take up serpents. If I have to, I'll make a way out of no way. If you just keep on moving forward by faith, I tell you, providence kicks in and a door opens and you say, how did that happen? You obey God. And whenever you obey God, God kicks in supernatural power to give you the ability to do what you normally cannot do in your own strength. And so keep on moving forward. Keep on trusting God. In 2025, keep on believing that God will make a way out of no way. He that cometh to God must believe. You got to have faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to make your mind up. Come hell or high water, I'm going to keep on trusting God. I'm going to keep on moving by faith. I did not come this far to quit. I've got to press towards the mark of the high calling. I'm going to do like Paul did. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I held on until I breathed my last breath. Is somebody in here willing to trust God today? Somebody in here willing to follow God all today? If you're willing to do that, won't you stand with me? I want to pray over you. Just want to say, God, I recognize that I need to walk by faith. I recognize I need your presence. I recognize I can't do this without you. I've got some things in my life that I can't overcome unless you do it for me. It's 2025, the first Sabbath of the new year. And we're standing together because in this congregation, we recognize, even online, people who know that they need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. That are going to walk by faith, Lord. I know the devil's going to try to intimidate. I know trials and trouble will come, but we're going to keep on moving forward. While we're standing today, just for a few seconds, there may be somebody else who want to start the new year off right. I have not accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I have not been baptized yet. I have not given my life to Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here today who want to do what Octavia did a couple of weeks ago and got baptized, went down into the watery grave and came up in the newness of life. Buried all the sins into the path, into the water and come up new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation today. Is there somebody else today who want to say, yes, I need Bible studies. I need to be baptized. If that's the case, just raise your hand. We would love to write your name down and begin that process that you'll become a disciple and you'll walk in Christ and you'll do the will of God and you'll follow him all the way. If there's somebody else here today want to make that decision, I've got to make that appeal because, again, Jesus is coming. He's even at the door and we're here today. And believe it or not, this moment will never be the same moment ever again. We'll never have the same amount of people like this watching online or in the church. There'll be different personalities. Yes, this moment will never be relived like this. This is only a gift from God right now. And you want to take advantage of it. And you want to say, yes, God, I trust you. You want to move forward. And even you might want to say, I want to become a part of Message of Hope. I would love to be a part of this movement. I want to be a part of this church. You just raise your hand. If you want to be a part, you want to transfer your membership and say, yes, I want to be a part of the blood body. I want to be a part of God's people here in this part of the vineyard. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and we'll get your name and your number and we'll begin to talk with you. I see your hand. Amen. 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 Somebody else. Somebody else. You want to just be a part of the move of God. And watch what God's going to do in 2025. I'm praying for us now. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your people who are standing. Lord, we recognize we need your presence. We need your presence today because how will they know? When somebody sees us, how will they know? The only way they'll know is your presence goes before us. Your presence is with us. The only way they'll know is they see the Holy Spirit shining through our pores. Like Moses, who was on that mountain when he came down, his face was aglow. It's because he had been in the presence of God. Lord, it's my prayer today that those of us who are here, when we leave out of this service, somebody will know that we've been with God. And because his presence is with us, we'll overcome our habits this year. Somebody been fighting with something for years, Lord. Somebody been dealing with a habit that they cannot overcome. I ask that you would go now into their life and you have given them the power to be able to overcome that thing. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us today that we might continue to walk in favor so that we don't end up going down and making a mess of our lives, running from our assignment. But then, Lord, we ask that you go before us and make a way out of no way. Every year starts, Lord, and the question is asked before the ball drops in 2026, will we make it? As we journey this 2025 year, Lord, we ask that you would give us the faith to trust you. Some didn't make it out of 2024. It didn't matter how much money you had, didn't matter how much power you had. It didn't matter where you live, didn't matter what you drive, didn't matter anything other than the fact that it was because of your breath in our bodies that kept us alive. And we're here today because of your mercy. So, Father, I pray a special blessing upon those who are watching online and those who are here in the sanctuary. Cover us, God. Save us, God. And may your presence go with us so that somebody will know we've been with you. We thank you and we bless you because you are worthy of our praise. Thank you for the hand that went up to be a part of the church. Thank you for that individual. We pray that others too will make decisions about following you, those who have not. And then, Lord, we pray that those who are watching online, there's a QR code that they will be able to link in and fill out that survey that give us their name and information, and we'll respond to them who's online. Father, save us today, we pray. Go before us, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated.